This is Great FM.
You know, when we think of the workplace, a lot has changed. Culture and etiquette have undergone a massive transformation. Behavior in the workplace has become a lot more nuanced and people pay closer attention to it, as they should. Work hours have changed. So there's a noticeable shift in the way organizations and professionals approach their work. And that is only amplified with the emergence of AI. But you know what hasn't changed? Working primarily for income. But professionals are becoming increasingly more conscious about the values and culture that their organization stands for. The desire for fair and legitimate pay has not changed much. But since the emergence of AI, there is the question of whether payment structures and the ability to find work that matches one's desire for fair pay will change. That is sort of the area of interest on today's episode of Great FM. Thank you for joining us, everybody. I'm Ahalya. And to give us a little bit more of an in-depth view of what we're dealing with here, today is Babu Vittal, Head HR and People Practices, RTP Global. Thank you so much for being here, Babu. I'm really excited for today's conversation.
I'm excited. Thanks for the invitation. I'm so looking forward to have this conversation.
Yeah, the reason we're looking forward to it, I think, is this general feeling, right, spread across the world today, which is we have no idea what AI is going to bring our way. And pay is obviously something very near and dear to many of our hearts. So to start off, why don't we assess the industries that are most impacted by AI right now and which roles across industries have been impacted by AI, Babu?
You're starting off with a difficult question.
I like to challenge my guests.
Let me try and decipher this. Mm-hmm. Instead of getting into looking at industries, I would just look at the kind of work we do en masse across the ecosystem. So if you look at the work you do is repetition, right? In some of the industries, repetition is the king, queen, soldier of everything, right? Many people end up doing the same job over and over again and again. I think those are the industries to start with where we would see a huge impact on AI. Just to give you an example, there are tons of surveys which has come out which says that about 50-60% of the jobs which are existing today were not even heard of 10 years before, which means we need to look at all the industries which have been existing beyond the last 10 years, right? I would say that wherever you see reputation, industries which have been existing beyond last 10 years, that's where the impact is going to be. Again, the impact may not be across the entire spectrum. In my mind, it would start at the bottom of the pyramid. In any organization, there are tons and tons of people. You mm-hmm. have a set of people who are execs, workers, doing the regular 9-to-5 work. And then they slowly climb above. Then you move on to a team leader or a manager and so on. The bottom of the pyramid part is where I'm very, very worried that would happen in a very, very short time. In my mind, I would say that's where the impact is going to be, Alia.
Okay, that's very insightful. I'm glad you took the challenge of that difficult question, Babu, because that really does lead us to the rest of this conversation. I think what's interesting about the answer that you just gave us is also the idea about understanding nature of work, right? And why that's going to play such a big role when it comes to assessing how it's going to be impacted by AI. Now, to talk about money, it's not easy, right, to bring up pay, especially when you're in an organization, when it comes to asking what you think you deserve versus comparing yourself to the rates in the market. It's always historically been a difficult conversation for many to have. And then if you mix the presence of AI, I think it's difficult because we have no way of fully understanding the scope of AI's presence in our work today. So then if you have to ask the question, how do I gauge the role of AI in my compensation structure? It becomes really important to know that answer because, like you just mentioned, if the response is that, well, AI can do this, then what are you asking to be paid for?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I think what I would do is we'll probably start climbing down. What we looked at is we looked at industries, we looked at the ecosystem, we looked at the bottom of the pyramid. Now I'll come to you, I mean, you and me, right? Mm-hmm. As individuals who are working, who are part of it, right? Money matters. We are not going to come up and say that satisfaction matters. Of course, yes, it's true. We need to be satisfied at the work we do, but end of the day, that sweet sound of SMS from your bank on 30th of the month is something what we all look forward to. What I would say is we have a small AI tool in our hands, which we don't recognize. That tool, in my mind, is our calendar, our work calendar, right? So what I would suggest is if we can just take a pen and paper, I mean, not AI, but use a pen and paper, sit down, look at our calendar for the last 2 to 3 months. Once we start looking at our calendar for last 2 to 3 months, we'll figure out how many things are repeating in our calendar. Status updates, regular meetings, getting to know what's happening inside the organization, catching up with our manager. This would take at least 50-60% of the time. And the remaining 40-50% is our actual work. Now, this is something none of us have done so far. I would recommend us to take a closer look at it. That's kind of a mirror and a reflection of what's the impact of compensation because of AI. Because as I said at the beginning, right, most of the things are repetitive in nature. And that's what can get automated. That's where AI would come into picture. Imagine, I mean, if you could picture 50% of your calendar is wiped out by something else. And when an HR person looks at the calendar of any employee in the organization, that's just 50% contribution, what you bring to the table. That straight away gives the answer on how do I gauge the impact of AI on my compensation structure. 50% is a number. Most of us would not be doing repetitive jobs of more than 25-30%. I may sound scary, but I think that's the fact.
Wow. Okay. I think that's a very unique way of looking at it and sort of assessing it, right? Every one of our answers is going to be unique. So important to do that exercise. I think I'm going to definitely do it after this podcast. Now, bringing the conversation to HR, because Great FM does spotlight conversations around human resources. Does HR and do HR professionals need to now start coming up with effective strategies to assess the potential place of AI in every role at their organization? And if the answer is yes, they should. How can you even begin to analyze that, Babu?
Something which is difficult and something which is yet to be figured out obviously falls in the lap of HR professionals, right? So,
absolutely.
We are at the receiving end of most of the things which are happening, both in the ecosystem, also in the industry, also in the organization. It's kind of challenging for us to start, but I would say, look at the bottom of the pyramid to start with. Within your organization, one metric you could approach is looking at the salaries. That's one metric you could look at, starting from the bottom of the pyramid. The other one I would suggest is to look at unique titles. Let's say, for an example, if you have 25 analysts in your organization, an organization of 300 people with 25 analysts, you just need to go look at your compensation structure or a document. You'll find out these grouped titles. There could be an analyst working in a finance, or there could be an analyst working in a marketing team. Analyst is an analyst, right? So if you start looking at grouping those roles at the bottom of pyramid, you'll get an idea of where to start from. The next obvious step is to look at what are the job description, what are they doing. We have the interview notes to check what kind of people we have hired. We have the salary numbers to check in terms of what kind of salaries they're drawing. I think that's one place I would encourage fellow HR professionals to go and start looking at. Once you start there, I think the path will open up in itself for you.
Okay, so this seems like doing the calendar exercise, but for everyone at work.
That's true.
So HR, we've had this conversation as well on Great FM before, Babu, which is, you know, as an industry, HR has in itself undergone quite the AI makeover, right? So many functions of HR have now started being supported by or enhanced by the use of AI. So to take HR professionals' compensation into consideration, what should people professionals be looking out for in terms of ensuring fair pay for themselves also?
It's an interview question, what you're asking me.
I love that. I love to be in that position for once in my life.
I think the fundamental question is you should start thinking like a CEO or a CFO in this.
Okay.
What would a CEO think about? How would you project this number for the next 5 years? Do you think you'd be willing to add another 10% every year from now on? As a CEO, I'll be comfortable going and presenting this to my board. As a CFO, would I be comfortable doing this? If the question is yes, then you can start thinking about your own compensation. If the question is somewhere maybe, or if the answer you have is somewhere in the gray area, I think that's when you should probably go a little bit deeper and start thinking about what else we could do. One of the things I would do is look at the own team you're managing, right? We love building big teams because that's how the HR teams are, right? We start throwing people at the problem. We slowly realize that those problems can be managed through machines or systems or whatnot. But at the beginning, we start throwing people at the problem. So maybe we should start looking at our own teams. How could we manage it, reduce it, outsource it? However lean you could make your team, start thinking about moving in that direction. Then you'll find answer for your own compensation question.
Again, you know, a little uncomfortable, a little scary place to be, but an exercise that has to happen if we're going to secure our futures. Also to talk about the policy level changes that need to happen, Babu, when you take a look at HR professionals right now and their involvement at the policy level, it's quite large, especially post-COVID, right? They've been given a much bigger hand in actually defining the culture of an organization. So what are the policy amendments or new policies behind this compensation question that should be considered by HR professionals right now that can be implemented ASAP?
Okay. Even my CEO has not asked this question, but you're asking me. I think what we need to do is we need to do a bit of reverse engineering. All policies are needed, Ali. I mean, it's not that your employees are not going to travel. It's not that they're going to take leave or not take leave. Everything is going to be existing as long as you have humans. Most of the basic policies will be in place, and you definitely need to consider all the policies. I think probably what we may have to do is we may have to think through sort of a reverse paradigm for our policy structure. Because during COVID, we thought about how do we accommodate individual requests. Let's say we build a policy for 100 people, but we should think about having 500, 600 employees in the organization, how we could scale the policies. When the reverse paradigm, I mean, is can you build and go take a relook at your policies and say, hey, right now, build it for 600. How can I reduce it for, let's say, 50 to 75 people, right? You may have to start wearing a reverse lens and looking at all your policies. I mean, all policies are needed. Nothing is going out of the window. But the way you approach it, the way you customize it, the way you make it sweet, short, and interesting for a limited set of employees, mind you, after AI starts coming into the picture, you would only largely have high-performing employees in your organization. So how do you start fine-tuning your policies to a large set of high-performing yet small number within the organization? That's what I would suggest.
Okay. All right. So for anyone who is going to ask their head people professional this question, that's your answer now. I also do want to draw a correlation between upskilling and, see, this is again something that has come up, Babu, during this entire year, right? You would have heard many people talking about human intervention in AI and how maybe we're just trying to soothe ourselves a little bit. But the fact that AI isn't at a position right now to completely take over, it does need a fair degree of human intervention. And as human beings, if we can learn to work with AI, you know, what it can do, what it can't, we won't be controlled by it. We'll still be controlling it, right? Do you think this is something that plays a role in the money conversation for professionals all over the world, across industries, across different roles? Is it a valid correlation, or is it a little too simplistic to learn AI and then, you know, your compensation won't change too much?
I mean, it's kind of an interesting question. I wouldn't say it is just about learning AI. I think it's about continue to learn AI. Mm-hmm. And continue to adapt yourself. So it's not a box, right? You just go tick the box and you say that, hey, I'm done with this. You probably continue to learn in terms of what's happening. So I would start with at a few places. As HR professionals, I start with HR professionals. We generally have a tendency. I'm not generalizing this, but I have seen this as a trend across good percentage of HR professionals where we put our head down and work. And we don't kind of put our head up and look around in terms of what's happening, what's changing in the horizon. So first thing is I would ask my fellow professionals to just to raise their head and look around in terms of what's happening. Probably the next place I would go is don't look at the news, right? If you look at the news, you'll probably get pulled in different directions in terms of a company CEO is in, he's out, he comes back. All that happens in the AI world becomes news. You may have to distill and probably go further down to understand all the enhancements which are happening. That's another place I would suggest. One of the constant mantras one need to follow is just pick one skill, probably pick a tool, maybe look at how we could continue our learning journey, continue to equip yourself in this journey. It's not going to be start, stop, and then my pay is going to change. It's going to be start, and continue to do your learning journey. I think that's where the answer is. The correlation, yes, it is existing, but it's not a one-off exercise is what I'm trying to say.
No, I think that's fair. Yeah, that's very fair. In fact, I was having a conversation with someone recently in a very different context, not AI at all, but they were talking about how it's important to know your environment and then alter your behavior, right, according to that. And I think for people across industries, different AI applications, machine learning applications will be relevant to you in the coming future. So it's important to understand what you really need to pick up on. And I think that whole thing of being the jack of all trades isn't going to work, right? You got to know the one thing that's going to work for you, the one thing that has the most potential, be a master of that, keep getting better, and then you will probably have the upper hand in the money conversation. Yeah, this has been really fantastic, Babu. I think some very unique perspectives that you've brought to the table. Like I said, I'm very excited to do the calendar exercise where I feel it's going to make me feel a lot more secure after today's podcast. But just to hand over the mic to you for our last bit today, I think this is going to be a very actionable section of the podcast amongst the other bits that you've given us today, which is to highlight three immediate communications or messages that HR professionals need to make in the area of the AI and compensation crossover. So I'm going to step away for a bit. The floor is all yours.
Should I call it three important communication or should I call it warning signals? I don't know, but I'll tell you what comes top of mind. Probably the first one is upskill is not given. It has to be taken. No longer we're going to go around and chase our employees saying, here is a calendar, here are 10 courses. I recommend you to take two. No, that's not the way it's going to happen. So it's not given. It's not served to you. You have to go and take it, figure out and take it. So that's one. The second is probably a bit harsh question to ask and propagate across the organization. I would recommend that go and ask this question, which is, how could you reduce the dependency on you? Right? If this question is asked to you, that kind of makes you think. It's not a question about, I'm going to ask you to step out of the organization. I'm going to ask you to figure out your reputation, whatever things you're repeating within the system, figure out the dependency I have on you, and go and figure out new horizons wherein you can bring more and more positive sense into the organization, more and more expanded horizons for the organization. The answer kind of would help the organization to move forward. So that's the second one I would say. And the third one is mostly about money, right? Money is directly proportional to the deliverables you do. It's no longer about clocking X number of hours. It's no longer about delivering X number of reports. It's directly proportional to the deliverables what you bring to the table. I would say earlier, these are the three things. It's difficult to make this communication, but I think we may have to do this communication.
Yep, sometimes we do have to do the difficult things, you know, face them and conquer them eventually, hopefully, fingers crossed. Thank you so very much, Babu, for this enlightening conversation. It has been a little bit tough getting your time to be with us on Great FM, but, you know, the wait has been well worth it, I would say.
Yeah, I had, in fact, I have to spend a lot of time to think through all your questions. What I've shared is probably a small leaf out of what's happening across or amongst us today. I think I would urge all the listeners to go start picking up that one skill and start upskilling. My recommendation is this is a journey. Don't stop it.
A wonderful note to end the conversation on. Thanks so much, Babu. And everyone, I think this one, especially this episode of Great FM, is probably going to give you a lot of points to really soak in. So until the next one, keep at it, keep pondering over these insights, and we'll catch you very soon. This is Mia Halia signing off. Thank you very much.
This is Great Defense.